enjoying the whole experience of going.
A world-class musician, on stage at one of Europe's finest chamber venues, performing to an empty hall. And thousands of listeners across the UK. Live music returns to BBC Radio 3 in lockdown, with a month of recitals from London's Wigmore Hall. Live Radio 3 lunchtime concerts start next Monday to Friday at 1 o'clock.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 with me, Chris Berrow. The trumpeter Terence Blanchard will be performing for us this afternoon, and the saxophonist Nubia Garcia tells us about the music that inspires her in J to Z at 5 o'clock. Now, though, it's time for this week's Music Planet with Lopa Qatari.
Something level,
wake up to level,
something level,
wake up to level,
oh level. Music to get you out of your malaise. A bit of Afrofunk disco meets high life from Ghana's musical past. That was Something Lefe O from the 1981 album The Pacesetters by the short-lived Ghanaian supergroup Edikanfo. Now, Brian Eno, sound explorer and lover of all things West African, produced the album. And it took off, not just in Ghana, but also internationally. Helped out, no doubt, by Eno's reputation in the music world. But the coup d'etat in Ghana at the end of that same year, 1981, unfortunately stymied the band's rise to fame, and the group scattered to the four winds. Now, 40 years on, they've got a second chance. Glitterbeat Records reissued the album The Pacesetters earlier this month, and the global pandemic willing the surviving members of Edikanfo, with Gilbert Amarte Amar still at the helm, are gearing up to go on their first ever tour of Europe. Welcome to this week's Music Planet with me, Lopa Katari. We'll be exploring the rarely heard sounds of Yazidi music today. Michael Bochman, who's part of this project, will explain more about it shortly. And our classic artist is the legendary Mori Kante, who sadly passed away last week. And given that travel and live gigs are a total no-no for the foreseeable future, Portuguese fado singer Luisa Rocha has kindly invited us into her home in Lisbon for Music Planet's first living room session. So let's leave retro Ghana behind and head off to the calmer, more bucolic sounds of Welsh harpist Georgia Ruth. This is the title track of her new album, May.
Gwyn fy mynd
Poetry put to music, May, written by Welsh poet Eifion Wynne from his poem about the month of May, and set to music by Aberystwyth's singing harpist Georgia Ruth from her new album named after the poem. The album is suffused with the idea of struggle between winter and summer, seasonally appropriate, I thought, for sunny but eclectic weather that we're experiencing at the moment. And talking of sunny days, there is no music more infused with sunshine than that of Cabo Verde. In 1976, seven musicians from the islands off the west coast of Africa came together in a studio in the Dutch city of Rotterdam, where I guess they'd emigrated to record an album. Going by the name of Voz de San Nicolau, in just a few days, they hastily laid down six tracks of Coladera songs inspired by the music of their island of San Nicolau, which lies in the north of the Cabo Verde archipelago. Now, Coladera is basically cranked-up mourner, songs of lament, but at a pace. The album Fundo do Mar Palinha is sadly the only evidence of the group's existence. Finding it difficult to make ends meet, Voz de San Nicolau were forced to return to their day jobs, and the band, well, disappeared back into the urban mass of Rotterdam. If it hadn't been for Analog Africa, they may well have sunk without a trace for eternity. Sami Ben Redjeb's label is about to reissue the album in July. And the album is important not just because of its original music, but also because it's the first time a woman from Cabo Verde was recorded on an LP. And her name is Joana do Rosario, singer and co-bandleader. So here's the title track, Fundo do Mar Palinha.
Na fundo maré palinha, é perdição deste menininha. Esta bicha tornava, esta massa bicha tornava. Na fundo maré palinha, é perdição deste menininha. Esta bicha tornava, esta massa bicha tornava. Oh, perigo, perigo no mundo. Na fundo maré palinha, oh, sabe o que sabe no mundo. Na meia palareira, oh, perigo, perigo no mundo. Na fundo maré palinha, oh. Na meia palareira, na fundo maré palinha, é perdição deste menininha. Esta bicha torna bal, esta basta bicha torna bal. Na fundo maré palinha, é perdição deste menininha. Esta bicha torna bal, esta basta bicha torna bal. Oh, perigo, perigo no mundo. Na fundo maré palinha, oh, sabe o que sabe no mundo. Na meia palareira, oh, perigo, perigo no mundo. Na fumare palinha, sabe o que sabe na mão. Na meia bananeira.
Thank you.
Wistful and melancholic, the sound of the Chinese guzheng and Japanese shakuhachi exploring a shared history of their two ancient cultures in the hands of two masters, Mao Ya and Hasegawa Shozan. Moon Over the City Ruins is the name of the album, and it came out last year on Raimoi Records. And before that was the title track of Cabo Verde's Voz de San Nicolau, their only album, Fundo de Mar Palinha, recorded back in 1976 and due to be reissued on Analog Africa this July. And now, here's a little something I prepared earlier. جم و جم ما و احمد باق جم که دبابیره جم و جم از قربان و جم که دبابیره زرید گنده ما و احمد باق مشان سر بیره زرید گنده ما از قربان و مشان سر بیره. A short while ago, a group of Yazidi musicians from Iraqi Kurdistan came to the UK to tell their story of persecution and to bring their music, which is at the heart of their identity, to our attention. Now, whilst the community has been the target of persecution for many centuries, it was the campaign by Daesh in recent years that almost decimated the people and its culture. Joining me down the line from his home is Michael Bachmann, a violinist who teaches at Trinity Laban Conservatoire of Music and Dance in Greenwich. Michael heads up a team in collaboration with the British Council Cultural Protection Fund and the Amar International Charitable Foundation to support the Yazidis in the refugee camps and to help them re-establish and preserve their music. Michael, very warm welcome to Music Planet. Tell me, how did you get involved in this project and what was it that drew you to it?
Well, it's a very interesting question because I'm a classical violinist and this couldn't be further away from what I usually do. However, as it happens, I was brought up in Ankara in Turkey for the first few years of my life, which is not a million miles away from Iraq. And so I was measly attracted. Now, the reason actually that I was involved with this was that I run a children's festival at the Tower of London, and we get 2,000 children singing in front of the White Tower called Water City Music at the Tower. And at one of these receptions at the Tower, I met Baroness Nicholson. Baroness Nicholson heads the MR Foundation, has done the most incredible things with the foundation over the last 27 years. Over 100 field hospitals and everything else has been done there for the people. Of course, now that the Yazidis are in all these camps, which is a real devastation, we find that we've got to do something about it because there are other therapies and their bodily health is being taken care of, but not the mental health.
Michael, help us put their music in context, if you can. I mean, who are the Yazidis and why have they been persecuted?
The Yazidi people are a very, very ancient people and they go back really, really right to the very earliest civilizations around Ur and Mesopotamia. And their religion goes back into the mists of time, 5,000, 7,000 years old. Their music is not written down, and their religion is not written down. And because they're officially not, therefore, a people of the book, and they're a distinct minority of about 500,000, they are persecuted regularly. And over the last few hundred years, they've had 72 atrocities and genocides. They're very, very resilient people, but this is really one of the worst. One of the points about them is that they are intensely musical. And the religion is demonstrated through music. And there's a caste. They have a caste system, traditionally, and there's one caste called the Kwals. Actually, there are only 8 Kwals left after this last genocide who tell the story of their religion through music. And they go through the villages and they sing it. They play it on dafs, which is a large tambourine, and the flute, which is a shabab. But why Daesh wanted to eliminate the musicians, because if you eliminate the music, you eliminate the people.
As you've been saying, it is a rich tradition, and the music that we're going to hear on the programme is a traditional Yazidi religious song for the special festival that they normally or would usually perform at their main temple in Lalish in Iraqi Kurdistan. And it's sung by the two Yazidi priests or the Kwals who were over here in the UK just a short while ago. So, Michael, what is your role in this project? And is this music being recorded at the refugee camps?
We went to Lalish, which is the spiritual centre of the Yazidi people, with the temple there, and very, very ancient indeed, back into the mists of time. And we recorded the whole year cycle of music that tells the religious story around the year. The other part of this was to start the music in the camps. Now, since 2014, they've been in camps, about 400,000. And we worked in 5 camps. There are 16,000 each, approximately. And we set up programmes with Yazidi elder musicians teaching the younger people. This was a tremendous success. what was a great thing was that the British Council stipulates that 50% of beneficiaries should be female. And of course, it's quite a male-dominated society in the Middle East. So how did we get around this? Well, actually, I spoke to them at the beginning of the project and said, well, look, if we're going to have this money to do this thing, we have to find 50% women. In fact, you know, we didn't quite manage that, but we managed about 40%.
Michael, the second song we're going to hear is from a girls' choir from the IDP, the Internally Displaced Persons Camps. Before we talk about them, let's listen to the piece. This is the Yazidi Girls' Choir. Michael, I wanted to ask you, what is the role of women in this music? Is it quite unusual to have a women's choir? And how important are they to the project that you're running?
This was central, actually, and it is unusual. So we were sort of doing a little bit of a leap into the dark here. Many of these girls were sold in sex slavery after Daesh overtook these villages. They would come up to a village, dig a trench, shoot the men, put them in the trench, and they'd take the women as sex slaves. I mean, it was as bad as that. And those who escaped went up to the top of the hill, spent 10 days in the mountains till they were brought to IDP camps. And then there was one of the girls who was singing, was eventually brought back by her parents. What our remit was to produce a choir to help twofold. One is to show what was happening, and two, to use music as the therapy. There was an incredible thing. Through talking to lots of people, we came across this lovely girl, not somebody who'd been taken by Daesh, but she came from a musical family, her father a musician, her brother a musician, and she, I immediately recognised, was an absolute first-rate musician. She had a fantastic voice. She had a very good presence, and she was a very good teacher. So we asked her to form a choir. And so we had of these choir 10 girls. Five of them were good musicians from the camps. And five of them were girls who had come back from Daesh. And when we started off, they put a song together and it was okay. And I spent 2 days coaching them in it and making a real show out of it. They walked in with the daffs, with the tambourines, and they worked at this. And you could tell by the bearing the girls who'd been through this horrific experience, because their eyes were on the ground. And then gradually, they started enjoying themselves. You know, Lopa, the incredible thing about music is that you can only perform music if you're in the here and now. It's absolutely now that you're listening to your fellow musicians. This is an incredibly moving experience.
Rainas Elias is one of the young girls in the Yazidi Girls Choir from Sinjar. She's 19 years old now, but was just 14 when she was sold into slavery by so-called Islamic State. After this horrific experience, music has psychologically been quite literally a lifesaver for her.
After coming back as a survivor of this, I was suffering from different psychological problems. I was traumatized. I didn't know how to help myself, so I joined this group. And gradually, I began to enjoy singing with them and playing the music. For me, this group, this music and dancing with them is a kind of therapy.
Reynas Elias from the Yazidi Girls Choir recounting her experience of how music has been an absolute lifeline for her. I've been speaking to Michael Bachmann, a violinist at the Trinity Laban School of Music, who's been leading a project to help preserve and record the music of the Yazidis. Music does have tremendous healing powers. I mean, it's incredible how it can galvanise. And it sounds, Michael, as though the younger generation are very much committed to this project and what you're trying to achieve here.
Completely, Lopa. And the other thing is that, of course, it puts them in touch with their culture again. It's not just their own personal lives. And they're saying, oh, yes, it's us. It's us, the Yazidis.
Michael, as you mentioned earlier on, this isn't just vocal music. There is also instruments involved in it. Tell us a bit about this last piece that we're going to hear, where I believe Ali is going to be tambour player.
Ali plays the tambour, yes. Now, the tambour is an interesting instrument. It is even played in Greece, Turkey, and right across to India, I think. It's a wonderful instrument. And, of course, the girls were learning it too. Traditionally, the girls don't learn it. And he was one of our teachers. Though he was teaching the girls, he performed with the girls, and he's also playing with them. Ali is a famous musician, part of a famous family of musicians. And it tends to run in families, like it does here.
A Yazidi folk song performed by tambour player Ali Hadar Fakir and Reynas Elias on Duff Frame Drum, specially recorded by the Music Planet team when a group of Yazidi musicians visited the UK prior to lockdown a few months back. You're listening to Music Planet here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lopa Katari. How's about a bit of something fast and furious? Here's Hungarian group Besodrom and Noch Dazu from their latest album called Simply 20, released, yes, you guessed it, to mark their 20th anniversary. Balkan music group Beşodrom and a track from their new album 20. Beşodrom means find your own path, and the group certainly have. This year they're celebrating their 20th birthday, which is quite an achievement given that they got together almost in spite of themselves. With different approaches, different styles, folk and ultra-modern instruments and plenty of fiery tempers, the band's love of music was about all they had in common. But they wanted to try something out, and they knew that if they hung in there, they would find the common ground. Right now, in keeping with current social distancing, lockdown rules and travel bans, we bring you the first Music Planet Living Room session, recorded especially for us by musicians in their own homes. And first to record a little something for Music Planet from her home in Lisbon is fado singer Luisa Rocha, accompanied by her husband Guilherme Banza on Portuguese guitar. Now, funnily enough, I met up with Luisa about this time last year when I was in Lisbon for the first ever Aga Khan Music Awards, and she suggested that we hang out in one of the old fado houses where she was doing a late night gig. If you have not experienced fado in this intimate setting before, I urge you to do so, because it really is like being served a slap-up dinner with fabulous entertainment right in your own home. So I guess this is as close as you're going to get to the real experience for now. Luisa Rocha and Guilherme Banza in their very own fado home, and Estranha Forma de Vida, Strange Way of Life, which is an apt title for our current situation. And it's a song intimately associated with the queen of fado, Amália Rodrigues.
Se não sabe
music that always pulls at the heartstrings. Fadista Luisa Rocha and her husband Guilherme Banza on Portuguese guitar performing Estranha Forma de Vida, recorded at her home in Lisbon, especially for Music Planet. And that was the first of our living room sessions. The next one is going to be with Turkish singer Çiğdem Aslan at the end of June. And just a reminder that on the Radio 3 website, you can still hear the full session that Luisa did for us when she came on the show about 3 years ago now, I think it was. Now, just about a week ago, the music world lost another of its treasures, one of its founding pillars, Mori Kante, who died in Conakry, Guinea, of ongoing health issues. So I thought we'd pay tribute to this mighty voice of Africa as the Music Planet classic artist today. He was a masterful musician. But, you know, when I think of Mori Kante, I see him moving around on stage, arms stretched out, dressed head to toe in white, and singing with such joy and power that you couldn't fail to feel part of his world. He was from a great line of griots, so it was a given that music would be the heart and soul of his life. He was also an ardent modernist, so it was perhaps no surprise that he became known as the electronic griot. Of mixed Guinean and Malian descent, Kante was born in Guinea, but sent to Mali at a young age to learn the kora and the ways of the griot. It was there that he became part of the supergroup, the Rail Band, and took over from Salif Keita as the lead singer when Keita left in the mid-70s. Well, apart from the prolific recordings of the band, Kante released many solo albums over his 50-year career, but it was his single Yeke Yeke back in 1987 from his album Akwaba Beach that proved to be his springboard to the world. It sold over a million copies, the first ever African release to do so, and reached number one in the European charts. The album itself became the best-selling African record of its time. Now, I'm not going to play Yeke Yeke, fabulous as it is. I'm going to play O-O-O from his 2012 album La Guinéenne. And this is why. In an interview Kante gave The Guardian newspaper back in 2004, he said he'd like to be remembered as a man of culture, as a citizen of the world who delivers his messages in music, and as a tireless traveller looking to meet and know the people of this world. O-O-O is just that, a traditional Guinean song given a modern treatment with lyrics that incorporate English, Spanish and French. One of Africa's great voices, Mori Kante, who died last week, and the classic artist today on Music Planet. This is Music Planet. I'm Lopa Katari. With the lockdown still continuing across much of the world, many musicians, as we heard earlier with Luisa Rocha, are continuing to make music at home. Some of the upcoming highlights you can click on and stream live, or festivals that you can visit mud-free from the comfort of your own home, are the Front Room Folk Festival. Go to their website to get details of the next scheduled live streaming virtual festival. A great way to enjoy an entire weekend of fabulous music, and if the mood takes you, to donate money to the charities they support. There's Lindblad Expeditions in partnership with National Geographic. They've got loads of great things online, from music to activities, vicarious travels to storytelling. Well worth a visit. There's also a pretty cool music map set up by Oslo World at www.mapptheworld.no. On the map of the world, they've pinned a whole bunch of virtual festivals. Just click on any of the locations and you can enjoy music from the bands that have played there, chosen by festival bookers from right across the world. Well, that is about it for today's programme. I'm here again next week with more new releases, plus a road trip to Armenia. I'm going to play us out this afternoon with a track from Cheshire fiddler and top lad Tom Kitching. The story is, he headed out of his front door in Manchester one morning in April 2018 to find, as he puts it, a place called England, following all the divisiveness of Brexit. The result of his 18-month busk around the land was a blog called Busk England and subsequent album called Seasons of Change, his first album in 5 years. This is Belt Driven, an original piece that's a nod to all the abandoned and derelict industrial buildings that Tom saw along his travels. It's pretty clever, I think, the way he plays the fiddle, almost making it sound like machinery in motion. So, till we meet again next week, here he is, Tom Kitching and Belt Driven, from me, Lopa Katari. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
belt-driven from the Cheshire fiddler Tom Kitching. Music Planet was presented by Lopa Qatari and produced by Michael Rossi. And now here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for J to Z.
Hello and welcome, I'm Kevin Legendre, and on today's show we have highlights from a truly glorious concert by American trumpeter Terence Blanchard. But we'll kick off with new music from the Boston-based pianist Chris McCarthy. He leads a fine quintet on his album Still Time to Quit, and this is one of my favourite tracks. It's called Shockingly Effective.